Alex's Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 325, which, since it ends with a 5, that means we're going to be reading The Matrix and Diamond World Mandalas in Shingon Buddhism. If you would like to start at the beginning of this book, feel free to check out the playlist right there. And, you can start in the middle, wherever you'd like to start. All right. So, I've been looking forward to this. New things. Are there any new things? The menu is a bit new. You can kind of see what I'm talking about. I've streamlined, simplified a little bit. There's multiple playlists in each of those sections. So, for example, the Tipitaka, you can get more specific than just starting at the beginning of the Tipitaka for that. Of course, there's Sutta Vibhanga, Bhikkhuni Vibhanga, Maha Vaga, and Chola Vaga, the 4 sections that we've read so far. We're still reading Chola Vaga. And then under Mahayana, we've got the Lotus Sutra, which we started reading. It's not very good. I mean, the Lotus Sutra is fine. I won't say the Lotus Sutra is not very good. It's just my reading of it led me to decide to dive into the Tipitaka and then read Mahayana later. We just read the beginning of the Lotus Sutra. And then, of course, much more recently, we began the Nagarjuna's opus, magnum opus. So that's in the Mahayana section. Then under Vajrayana, we have this, the Shingon, as well as the Padmasambhava, Life and Liberation of Padmasambhava. We read that on the 0 episodes, and we read this on the 5 episodes. And of course, Zen/Chan, the Zen playlist, and the Platform Sutra playlist, which is included in the Zen playlist, but don't worry too much about that. And of course, special episodes. So, yeah, that's new. Other than that, everything else is pretty much as it was. Blessings to you on this fine Tuesday here in Goa, India, where I live. And I hope you're doing well in whatever part of the world that you live. And all right. So without further ado, let's jump right back in, pick up where we left off last time, and learn about some Japanese Vajrayana, shall we? There should be some interesting illustrations today, I can already tell. This next section is called The Meditation on the Body Composed of the 5 Elements. Let's put the 5 elements up over my head. You remember those? They might not be exactly one-to-one the same as the 5 elements you might be used to if you're familiar with 5 elements in any other context besides Shingon Buddhism. All right. Next follows the meditation on the body composed of the 5 elements. And that is called Godai Joshin Kan. And there's a footnote. Some schools of esoteric Buddhism call this, meaning Shingon, some schools of Shingon Buddhism, they love to call it esoteric Buddhism, and just everything else is exoteric Buddhism. I get it. I mean, I'm familiar with, never mind, that whole phenomenon. So esoteric is for the few, and it's like the hardcore stuff that's not for everybody. So if you go to Mount Koyasan, be prepared to have people really emphasizing, well, you know, this is esoteric Buddhism. So anyway, some schools of esoteric Buddhism call this the, quote, great rite of the sun stupa, end quote. Probably not the same great rite that some of you might be familiar with who are familiar with a different 5 elements than the one that you saw earlier. Anyway, that's the great rite of the sun stupa, Nichi Sotoba Daiji. The sun, in quote, being Mahavairokana. Sorry for pausing. I was just checking to see if he's, I don't think he's above my head right now. He's over there. Okay. Right. With slight differences in detail, this is, quote, meditate, this is the, quote, meditation on the body adorned with the five syllables. Right. Okay. End quote. Oh, and these five syllables are above my head now. Well, if you can read that, they are om and vom, ham, ram, and kam, not in that order. Okay. Yeah, some strong reminiscence to yogic tantra, Hindu tantra, the seven chakras and all of that. So a little bit of overlap. I think when Padmasambhava was teaching Yeshe Tsogyal the chakras, there were five chakras. Don't quote me on that, but I remember hearing that from somewhere. So yeah. So you get a little bit of a peek into 8th century tantra by investigating Vajrayana, especially in Japan, because there was less of an information flow over the centuries with India, where in Tibet they do a little bit of like someone from Tibet might come down to India and then go back and say, oh, we've been pronouncing it wrong. We should say hum instead of hung, and we should say Pema instead of, or we should say Padma instead of Pema. The current Dalai Lama, for instance, has leaned more toward the Sanskrit, away from the traditional Tibetan mispronunciations of I'm the sort of person who likes the mispronunciations. Anyway, sorry. Where were we? With slight differences in detail, this is, yeah, we read that. Also known as the meditation on the body of the five chakras, or chakras, it says here, but I'm pretty sure that I should be pronouncing that as chakras. If Kulavaga is pronounced Cholavaga, then surely chakras is chakras, since they're talking about wheels, and the Sanskrit word for wheel is chakra. Okay, or in Japanese, Gorin Joshin Kan. And there's also, like, sometimes things were pronounced differently thousands of years ago than they are today, so. But I think with Sanskrit, they pretty much know. I'll keep reading. The meditation on the body composed of the five elements is the matrix world. Okay. Counterpart of the, quote, meditation on the body composed of the five forms, end quote, Gosho or Goso Joshin Kan, the diamond world ritual described in the following. Okay. Interesting. We'll keep reading. if you're tempted to apply the Wachowski definition of the matrix to the matrix here, you're not alone. But we'll just try to ignore that and keep going. Which is the stupa of his own body. Interesting. Goshin Toba. With the stupa of the Dharma world, Hokai Toba, which is the Dharma body of Mahavairocana. For those who are kind of new, I mean, and a little bit of a confession, you know, I considered myself Buddhist for 39 years and then hopped on a plane and came to Nepal to see the birthplace of the Buddha. And at that time, physically in Kathmandu, was the first time I became aware of the word and idea of a stupa. So it's supposed to, generally, there's a lot to go into. Let's put some stupas above my head. Those are stupas from different areas, India, Tibet. Generally speaking, there's different styles of stupas that generally correspond to different areas over here. I've heard it summarized that it means the mind of the Buddha. The Lotus Sutra starts out saying anybody who builds a stupa will attain enlightenment. So they became very popular, since Lotus Sutra was sort of the beginning of Mahayana. So from Mahayana on forward through Vajrayana mostly, and different forms of those two, you find stupas. They're generally like that. And sometimes they have things inside of them, like a bone of a saint, you know, sort of like like Buddhist Catholicism. I have a friend who's an archbishop in the Episcopal Church, and he met with some Buddhist nuns, and when the ceremony began and there was chanting and incense going on, he leans over and says, "Welcome to Mahayana Christianity." But anyway, all right. Let's stick with the script a little bit today, Edward. Keep reading, would you? Thank you. With the stupa of the Dharma world, Hokkai Toba, which is the Dharma body of Mahavairocana. Maha means great, so Vairocana, the great Vairocana. The Mahavairocana Sutra describes it as the impetus for direct and immediate progress. I'll have to remember to get a copy of the Mahavairocana Sutra and put it on our reading list somewhere. Being the meditation that instantly perfects the Sadaka's body. When the Sadaka's body has been adorned with the five elements, all bad karma disappears, scattered by the awesome virtue, or itoku, attained by perfecting the body, which now cannot be harmed, quote, by gods or demons, end quote. The meditation proceeds by visualizing the seed syllables of the five elements in five locations on the body. Footnote, the syllables Ava-Ra-Ha-Ka, in that order, are usually used, but sometimes void points are added to give them Am-Vam-Ram-Ham-Kam, okay? Indicating that they have been cultivated and perfected. The syllables A-V-Ra-Hum-Kam are also used, okay? Fair enough. Firstly, the Sadaka visualizes the syllable of the element earth, Ah, which is above my head now, in the thighs chakra, the lower part of the body below the navel. Perhaps we might know that as the root, the thighs chakra. That's an interesting way of looking at it. Okay. He changes it into a yellow square. There's a yellow cube above my head, which is the diamond earth chakra, or Kongo Jirin. Okay, hanging out with it a little bit. Some people are saying, hey, it's Prithivi. Yes, welcome to the other Esoteric Nerd podcast. Wink. Never mind. Okay, making the mudra. There's the mudra. And reciting the Dharani of the earth chakra, he merges it with the lower part of his body, which thus becomes the yoga throne of indestructible diamond. In quotes, yoga throne of indestructible diamond. Wow. The Dainichikyo Gishaku, quoted in Mikyo Daiji 10, page 221. That's a lot of pages. Or 2201. Something Yugaza calls the yoga throne of indestructible diamond, Kongo Mukai Yugaza, the great throne of Indra, or Dai Indaraza, and the, quote, square diamond chakra throne, end quote, or Shi Kongo Riza. The yoga throne is the throne of the Sadaka performing the ritual and also the throne of the Tathagata. Okay. Having effected Kaji with the earth chakra, he visualizes a five-prong vajra standing at the center of the yoga throne, its light shining brilliantly in all directions and illuminating all beings in the Dharma world. By the successful performance of this ritual, the Sadaka attains the station, G, or earth, of diamond firm bodhicitta, Kongo Kenko Bodaishin G, The mudra used in this ritual is the, quote, seal of the diamond throne, or Kongo Zain, which is the same as the, quote, outer five-prong seal, or Gegoko-in, figure nine above my head. The accompanying dharani is Nama-a. I take refuge in A. Nama. Oh. I always just thought Nama was like name or in the name of, but Nama, I take refuge in. That makes sense. All right. I know this is probably very basic for some people who are watching. Like, how could you consider yourself Buddhist for now 47 years and not know Nama means I take refuge in? Sorry. It was sort of a Hollywood... Never mind. I'll just keep going. That's my background, if you're curious. All right. Secondly, the Saraka visualizes the seed syllable of the element water, Va, figure 11, above my head, in the stomach chakra at the navel. Okay. Is that Swadhisthana or Manipura? There's five. There's only five, not seven. So maybe it's both. Getting esoteric. Are we getting esoteric yet? We'll see. Just ignore me. In the stomach chakra at the navel, it changes into a white circle above my head, radiating light like a clear moon. He makes the mudra and recites the dharani of the water chakra and merges the white circle and the stomach chakra, which is thus identified with the water of great compassion, or Daihi Sui. Footnote. Great compassion is here linked to water that irrigates and nourishes all things. Water is very compassionate, isn't it, now that I think about it? In a contemporary ritual, the Sadhaka merges in Kaji with Vam, the seed syllable of water, in the heart chakra, the location of the mind, or heart. We were talking about this very recently on another program. Of great compassion, Daihi Shin. Talking about mind and heart meaning the same thing, or the mind being located here. It's kind of unfamiliar to a Western sensibility. You know, the mind is here, the heart is here, and they're at war. Never the twain shall meet. No, different egregore, different paradigm. Let's leave that Shakespeare crap behind. No, I'm going to set it aside. At least for a little while, maybe forever. Don't listen to... Never mind, okay. In the heart chakra, the location of the mind, or heart, of great compassion, right. This causes the Amrita water, or Kanro Sui, to flow from the mind of great compassion to irrigate and nourish all beings. Okay. We're done with the footnote. When he successfully performs this ritual... The Sadaka enters the Samadhi of Great Compassion, or Daihi Samai. The mudra of the water chakra is called the Seal of the Lotus Throne, above my head, presumably, which has the same form as the Lotus Hand Clasp, figure 12. The accompanying dharani is Nama Vam. I take refuge in the seed syllable Vam. Okay. Thirdly, let's just real quick, just because I need to get it out of my head. Could you play the seven seed syllables of the chakras as performed by MC Yogi real quick? Long, Vam, Ram, Yam, Ham. Yogi. There's a link to MC Yogi or one of his videos or something. Thirdly, the Sadaka visualizes the syllable of the element fire, Ra, figure 13. In the chest chakra, This is thirdly. Okay, so I think I was right that Swadhisthana and Manipura are kind of both in lumped into the second chakra in this system, and the third chakra is here up in the chest. That's very interesting, isn't it? Some people take it as dogma that there are seven chakras, but I think it's of assistance to be able to see things in more than one way when it comes to the invisible, especially. Okay, it changes into a red triangle above my head, shining radiantly like the rising sun, right? Making the mudra and reciting the dharani of the fire chakra. The sadaka merges the triangle with the chest chakra and thus identifies it with the fire of knowledge, or chika, which burns away all his defilements. Can we put that illustration I did down here? So I did this illustration. It's inspired by something that comes later in this book of a monk up on Mount Koyasan doing a particular meditation with the red triangle of fire. All right. At high noon or midnight, those two are when you do that. I mean, something specific we'll get to later on. The fire chakra seal has the same form as the seal of the manifestation of the Dharma world, or Hokai Shoin, figure 14. The dharani is Nama Ram. I take refuge in the seed syllable Ram. Thank you again, MC Yogi. End quote. Fourthly, the Sadaka visualizes the seed syllable of the element air, Ha, figure 15. In the face chakra, located between the eyebrows, so we go directly from chest to what I would assume we might call third eye, right? The face chakra, very interesting. Located between the eyebrows and changes it into a black half moon. So the black half sphere is above my head. It's depicted a little differently than you would expect, because it's half of the. It's invisible. Never mind. You see it, right? So some folks are thinking, interesting. The circle, I'm used to being blue and air, and the half moon, I'm used to being a crescent and silver representing water. This is a little different from the tatwas. Yes, it is a little different, but you can see how it might be some kind of distant relation, like man with the orangutan or something. Never mind. He makes the mudra and recites the dharani of the air chakra and merges the half moon and the face chakra. When he successfully performs this part of the rite, the Sadaka attains the power of freedom, or Jizai Riki, which exorcises, like exorcist, not like, which exorcises all maleficent and demonic influences. Not maleficent and demonic in a good way, like the kids with their emotional support demons and Angelina Jolie as the wicked. Never mind. The mudra of the air chakra, old-fashioned evil, back when it was evil, The mudra of the air chakra is the, quote, seal of the turning the wheel of the Dharma, end quote, or Temborin In, figure 16. Footnote 33. Footnote 33. This complicated mudra is formed by placing the hands back to back with the left hand facing outward. The fingers are extended and entwined so that the fronts of the tips touch. The left thumb is turned across the palm of the right hand to touch the tip of the right thumb. The Bizai Shidai calls this the, quote, seal of the air chakra, end quote, or Furin In. Okay. The accompanying dharani is Nama Ham, not Ham. I'll keep reading. I take refuge in the seed syllable Ham.
I want all the ham.
End quote. That was, by the way, from this. It's rather amusing. All right, never mind. It's the whole thing. Fifthly, the Sadaka visualizes the syllable Ka, and that's K-H-A, so figure 17, the seed syllable of the element space, or Akasha, which means space or sky, that kind of space, like empty space or what's up above. Anyway, where were we? Not to get controversial. In the, quote, head chakra, end quote, located at the top of the head. Footnote 34. The Hizo Kisho gives two teachings concerning the location of the head chakra. First, the first says that the face circle includes not only the face but also the top of the head, so that the head chakra lies above the head. The second says that the head chakra is part of the head above the hairline. So it's sort of like, where do you do your philosopher's triangle? You know, it's like more than one school of thought on that. Okay, so what? Yes, the two hands form the diamond hand clasp. Did I skip a bit? Yes, I did. He transforms it into the form of the multicolored jewel. He makes the mudra and recites the dharani of the space chakra and merges it with the head chakra. Okay? Okay. All right. When this is successfully done, he attains the great space or great void. I really like this. And by the power of this, Kaji merges with the Dharma world. I was just talking to someone recently about the importance of connecting with the crown chakra, or Sahasrara, right? Not just the third eye. Sometimes people get fixated on opening their third eye. They want to see astral. They do all kinds of stuff to open their third eye, but without giving any attention at all to the crown chakra. And I always think that it's kind of important to have that involved or open as well, especially if you want to open your third eye, like, and you're really emphasizing that. Like, the last thing you want to do is see all the stuff that's around you without being anchored in your true and immortal self, you know, with a capital S. You know what I mean? You know, like, it's better to do both of those things at once. And I'm being figurative, and I don't mean to limit a person's experience by metaphorically expressing my own. That's always a problem, has always been a problem, and it's the root of all dogmas. And okay, anyway, where were we? Yes, he attains the great space, and the power of this Kaji merges with the Dharma world. Cool. The great space or great void, Daiku. Right. I think that it's important. Akasha, meaning space, meaning this empty space, meaning sky, is commonly thought of as, because people who work with the tattvas tend to assign it to the spirit element, but it's not exactly corresponded to that idea. You can correspond spirit and void and try that, you know, if you want to. But, and it might help, actually. But when people think void, they think, oh, there's just a void, like an emptiness inside, and oh, it's dark and depressing. But then they hear Akasha, they're like, oh, Akasha, yay, it's space, it's, you know, like. But this is saying that these two things are synonymous. So when you're speaking to a Japanese Vajrayana Buddhist and they say void, maybe in your mind you can think Akasha, space, but perhaps they mean the same thing, perhaps they don't. Nequaquam vacuum, right? Oh, anyway, I'll just keep going. Where were we? I don't know. The mudra of the space chakra is the seal of the great wisdom sword, Dai E To In. Any relation to Manjushri? The seal of the great wisdom sword has three other forms, but the one described here is that used in the meditation on the body composed of the five elements. Okay. The two hands form the, quote, diamond hand clasp, or Kongo Gassho, with the two index fingers bent so that the nails are together, and with the two thumbs pressed against the sides of the index fingers at the sides of the nails. The dharani that accompanies this mudra is Namakam, or I take refuge in the seed syllable Kam. When the Sadaka has established the five elements in his body in this way, the Dharma body, or Hoshin, innate within his own body, is revealed. Footnote. The significance of the meditation on the body composed of the five elements is given in Mahavairocana Sutra 7, the Shor Yugiki, and the Genbogiki. In the Taizo Unji Shidai, the five syllables are all visualized in the heart and not in five different places, because the mind, parentheses hyphen heart, mind heart, and the body interpenetrate. Shin Shin Furi, I guess Shin Shin Furi is interpenetrate, and form and mind are non-dual. Shiki Shin Funi, the two rituals are essentially the same. Well, I liked it. I think that's enough for one video, and that works out to about a half an hour, so it's good. At the because the next, that was the end of that section. We read one whole section. There was a lot in it. You know, there were some things in earlier recitals about the Dharma spikes and making a Dharma fence to keep Ganesh out for some reason that I was a little bit like, what? You know, but this, I feel like I'm going to take this with me for the rest of my life. I'm going to enjoy editing this. And this is an episode that I'm going to rewatch and, you know, try to kind of memorize and probably practice, because it feels very toward the heart of things in this particular way. For me personally, I like to be aware of the differences, but when I'm embracing a practice, when I'm practicing a practice, then I embrace that practice in that moment. But that said, I also hold space for, in my personal practice, the pre-sectarian early Buddhist approach and an awareness that this is not the sort of exercise that a Zen Buddhist would do. And I also hold a great deal of space, I don't know if I'm using that phrase the way that other people might use the phrase, but for that sort of pure Zazen practice as, you know, a kind of expression of the Yogi Chitta or the Yogacara school. The seventh limb of yoga, you know, of the true Ashtanga, no relation to Patavi Joyce, but the ancient Ashtanga as taught by Patanjali, the practice of Jhan or Chan or Zen as the way to enlightenment, and the way that Lord Buddha attained enlightenment, then came to say, okay, let me explain causality, let me explain this, let me explain that, let me make hundreds of rules and all of these things. And then Mahayana coming along later to say, okay, things got a little complicated and now there's 17 different orders and they can't agree who's who, so let's boil it down and just build stupas. And then eventually it evolved and, you know, the tantric movement came around and in India, and eventually you have people probably in Nalanda University, you know, 1500 or however many hundreds of years ago, practicing something probably very similar to what we just read about for a while, and then maybe they practiced something slightly different from that, and then that you can recognize in different forms of Vajrayana and in other schools. But yeah, I really enjoyed what we just read, and I'm fascinated by it, and fascinated by the idea of finding where it fits in the grand scheme of the blossoming and the blossomings of the greater Buddhist egregore, for lack of a better word, world, universe, cinematic universe, you know, like that's one way to put it, but I don't mean to diminish anything by calling it that, more to elevate that which is commonly thought of as being diminished on account of its commonality, i.e., you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is not the sort of thing that one would positively. What do you guys think about? I mean, I know there's like the obvious takes, but I mean, I'm looking for like a little bit deeper. I'll just put a few images over my head. I have to confess that when I see these images as I'm scrolling on Facebook, I save them secretly into my phone. I don't click like because I don't want it to be a matter of record that I approve on any level of AI art. Because I don't. I mean, but I have to admit that, like, it's just, I mean, I don't think that it's healthy for it to replace imagination. But insofar as it can be an inspiration for imagination or visualization, it seems like it's possibly not entirely bad. But yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to share that with y'all. And okay, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I did. Yeah, tune in next time. We'll be back to the Tipitaka, if I'm not mistaken. We've made a few changes to the schedule lately, but I don't think we've added anything on the 6. We added something on the 9, the Nagarjuna. But yeah, next time on Buddhist Books Podcast, we should be back to Tipitaka. That said, there is a new thing that we're doing. There's a thing called Buddhist Books B-Sides. You can click through. There's also the link in the description below to Buddhist Books B-Sides. If you are interested in this book, The 14 Dalai Lamas, or this book, Melinda Panya, Melinda, anyway, this one, of course, is about the 14 Dalai Lamas, generally speaking, and this one is about the conversation between the Greek king of Parthia, I believe, or emperor at the time, if I'm not mistaken, and the Buddhist sage Bodhisena, let's just say. I think that might be wrong. Bodhisena, I'm pretty sure, was the one who was in Nara. He was of Indian origin, and he knew Kukai, actually, or he met him when Kukai was younger. But anyway, maybe there's more than one Bodhisena. But we'll find out more when we start reading Melinda. That's what we're going to be reading next on Buddhist Books B-Sides. So these are things that the Melinda Panya, or however you pronounce it, is part of the Tipitaka if you're Burmese, but it is not included in the books that are behind me. The Thai Tipitaka and the Sri Lankan Tipitaka do not include the Melinda Panya, but yeah, in Burma they do, from what I understand. So I'm looking forward to reading that. That'll be coming up before Buddhist Books Podcast episode 326 will be that B-Sides. The B-Sides are like low effort for me. I don't, like, as a rule, I don't edit them. I just record them and upload them. Where this, as you notice, things appearing above my head, there's music and stuff like that. Sometimes the B-sides have music, but it's not very, like, it's just sort of plopped in there. And, so anyway, that's what's going on. I hope that you enjoyed yourself today, and I hope that you hit like and subscribe and all that good stuff. Feel free to comment below, say hi, or whatever you want to say. I'll go ahead and do our usual closing. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us, and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.